Blog Talk Radio.
John Jordan. Yeah, man.
He that know the right and do it wrong shall be spanked with many stripes. When the heathen come, your children step wise. Even though they make mention of them and those,
fire
they will never be friends.
Fire,
you know why? You know why? Yes, them have the heart of a pagan. Your children have the heart of a lion. I know people are moved with Satan. Righteous shod in the countenance of the Almighty One. Them have the heart of demons. Your children have the heart of a lion. I know people are moved with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty One. Poor people see hostility rising daily. Ignorant multiply brutality. We I see that they run down left mommy. We struggle the hard road with fight beginning. Our I see baby has been baby. Nothing that happened now do not seem to amaze way. We know that is the fulfillment of prophecy. Our I see them no build school is church and thing. Church, the penitentiary never empty. Still playing a mental trick on me. Listen, you check you and me check me, and let's bring world.
Shalom, family. Welcome to Quiet Time with Pastor Hicks.
Shalom, family.
Welcome to Elohim from a Hebrew point of view. I'm your brother Ariel. Glad to be back. Yes, Lord. Somber feeling today and from yesterday here in Baltimore. I know that we worldwide again because of the rioting yesterday, the looting yesterday, the misguidance of our youth. You know, as I look through Facebook, some people give that praise and honor. And the thing about it is, how can you give that praise and honor when they're stealing and looting and harming innocent people? That's not what the Most High about. I saw one post like Ray Lewis said something, and one person said, an Israelite said, told in his word, Ray Shekta, H-E-L-L up. That's the Most High will. They doing the Most High will. And I'm sitting there like, wow, that's the Most High will? Do you really and truly understand what the Most High will is? Because if you knew that, you would know why we're here in these lands that we call America and scattered abroad. But that's not the Most High will for his children to be running around acting buck wild like that with no leadership. That's not his will at all. Looting and stealing. No, he says pray for your enemies. That's a part of his will. And he'll let you know when it's time to fight. Because he says, vengeance is mine. So pray for your enemy. But I want to open up with a scripture. And the scripture is in Proverbs 29:18. You've probably heard this scripture before. Howard gave me a thought today. We're not going to stay on just our youth out there. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And that's what you saw out there. That's what you see among our people. No vision. None whatsoever. Even when the so-called ministers went out there. Even when the nation of Islam went out there. Which I give them, brothers, I commend anybody who want to go out there and stand in harm's way. I give them honor for that. But if you're not going out there in the name of Yah or in the will of the Most High, it's going to fall to the ground. It's not going to grow. It's not going to move at all, because it's not the first time that the Muslims went out there and stood for our people. It's not the first time that the clergy members went out there and stood for our people. They've been doing that since we've been brought over here. Both sects. since we were able to go out there and stand and speak to our people. No change, though. None whatsoever. So where there's no vision, the people perish. And we see that. And that word vision is talking about direction. There's no direction. There's no order. Because what is the contrast to no vision in this scripture? But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. He that has instruction, happy is he. Why? Because when he do something, he going to do something according to the laws, the instruction of the Father. If you're doing something according to the laws and the instruction of the Father, the direction the Father wants you to go in, you can never fail. But if you're going out there and say you even have a plan, say you have a plan to march from Baltimore to D.C., if it ain't in accordance with the Father, if it ain't in accordance with his law, it's going to fall to the ground. Say you took 1 million, 2 million brothers and put them on the lawn of the Capitol. If it ain't in accordance with the Father, it's going to fall to the ground. If not, going to spring nothing. Say if you took 600,000 and spoke on the lawn again of the Capitol and said that I have a dream, if it ain't according to the Father, it's going to fall to the ground. And y'all know who I'm talking about, Dr. King and Brother Farrakhan. Both of these men took large groups to D.C., and what was the end result? I know you might have somebody saying, man, they did a very good deed. They did a very good thing. You know, before I came into the faith, I was one of those million or two, in the crowd of the million member, and it felt good that day. It felt so good to see so many brothers rubbing elbows and nobody acting a fool to one another. But it didn't amount to nothing when we got back to the hood. We got back to the ghettos of Baltimore, the ghettos of D.C., the ghettos of Detroit, the ghettos of Flint, the ghettos of Michigan. Brothers came from all over the country. Here it is over 20-something years later, Acts. At least 19 years later, Acts. A brother, what effect did these movements have in the community? With Dr. King, what effect did his movement have in the community? What, we can go sit down at a restaurant and eat any way we want? Is that what Abba wanted for his children? We can do that. We can go in a movie theater anywhere we want. I was always of the belief, if you don't want me in your movie theater, I don't want to be in your movie theater. If you don't want me eating at your counter, I don't want to eat at your counter. My mom and grandma and them can make good pie. I don't need your cherry pie or your apple pie. Big Mama makes good pies. Big Mama cooks. I don't need to sit with you if you don't want me sitting with you. I don't need to rub elbows with you if you don't want me to rub elbows. I want to rub elbows with people who are like-minded. Anyway, that's scripture. I want to be around people who are moving towards the kingdom of God anyway. And when I have to go out there and get those who I will send me out there to get, he is going to bring those to the fold. All I have to do is be a willing vessel to teach what he tell me to teach. That's it. We're going to talk about these shepherds tonight. We're going to talk about why our children are lacking vision, why our children are so buck wild. And people get offended when you call them thugs. They call them thugs. Well, you tell me what the definition of a thug is. Were they out there stealing? Were they out there beating up innocent people? Were they out there burning things? See, we want to make excuses when we do wrong. We want to make excuses for that. Oh, we doing wrong because this, that, and the other. Because we upset, we are tired. Well, first of all, somebody was teaching something the way we should go, we wouldn't be tired. Why? Because our mindset wouldn't be caught up in running and getting some joy. We wouldn't have been grabbing bundles of hair. We wouldn't have broke inside of a liquor store and worried about getting some liquor. Our kids wouldn't have been worried about these things if that wasn't their priority and their number one thing. If they wanted to be out there marching and making a difference, looting wouldn't have came across their mind. But opportunity knocked, and they seized the moment. And the worst thing about it is the powers that be wanted you to do that. They need us to make a bad image of ourselves. So whatever they put out about us, all they got to do is run a video. That video of us looting and running around banging innocent people in the face is in the minds of millions of people around the world. So when they come down on our community hard, they act like animals, so we got to do that. Y'all saw how they were beating our people. We're not understanding the way this game is being played. Why? Because we lack vision. We lack vision and we lack true leadership. So we start off in Isaiah 34. Because we're going to see what the Father has to say about this leadership that's supposed to be guiding the people. And one thing about it, that some of us don't even want guidance. Some of us could care less about what are you saying? What are you trying to teach me to show me to go the right way? Some of us could care less. Even some of us in the faith is worried about guidance. Don't want to be sitting up under somebody, an order. We can care less about an order. But it makes me wonder for those that are in the faith. And the faith I'm talking about is Yisra'el. The only true faith that the Creator has sent down. Now, if you have joined yourself unto them, then you are in the faith. But I can't understand how Israelites buck up against an order. I don't understand that. Israelites bucking up against an order that the Father has set down. They do not understand that when Moshe, father-in-law Jethro, came to him and told him he needed to set up an order where men will answer to hundreds, men will answer to 50s, that was an order set up. How King David set up an order of the priests, that's an order set up. How Brother James, Yaakov, and quote-unquote New Testament in the book of Acts, had he was the head of the assembly at that time, and there still was a council set up, a council of 70 and 12, it still was that set up, even when Mashiach went off the scene. These are orders that Israelites are just not getting. Well, I'm going to tell you this, if you get it or not. But he that has an ear, let him hear. There are two Israelites in this world today, and understand what I'm saying. There are Israelites that Father Yah is moving upon, and there are Israelites that HaSatan is moving upon. Which one are you with? Let us learn from what's being taught in these scriptures. Why would the Father allow his people to be broke up into two houses? What would that point to? Don't you know about the king that set up the false way of worship? There's two Israelites that's moving within this land right now. If you understand it or not, pray to the Father and ask him about these two Israelites that's moving in the land right now. One that the Creator is moving, Father Yah, and one that his adversary, Halal, who you may call Hafatah, is moving upon. And what Yahushua said, you can tell by his truth. Isaiah 31:4. For thus have Yahweh spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey, with a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of him, of them. So shall Yahweh of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. See, these shepherds right here that the Most High is talking about are not his shepherds. They are not moving according to his will. Because if they were his shepherds, when they talk, even though that lion hears them, he will be moved. And doesn't the scripture talks about two lions? See, let's understand this. There's a duality. Scripture talks about a lion that's walking to and fro in the earth, teaching him he may devour. Satan as a roaring lion, that is. And it also talks about a lion of Yahuda. So there is two lions that the scripture talks about. One for Yahushua's side, Yahushua represents, and one that Satan is his minion. So these shepherds that's walking around and talking, oftentimes have no fear of them. But let the shepherds of Yah talk. He'll turn that roar into a meow. He fears the true shepherds of Yah. Let's move on. We're going to stay with Isaiah. We're going to move down into 56. Talked to a brother last night. The brother said, we got to get the men of Israel together. That voice of Yah is not out there. He said, we got to get the elders of Israel together.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, wow, brother. He asked me, are you seeing this? I said, yes, I'm seeing it. Wow. We got to have a meeting. Yah's presence has to be known in this world. And the only way Yah's presence is going to be known in this world if Yah's people is out there. We may not have to say a thing. Just be our presence alone will alert hostile. Yah, people is on the scene. And I thought about it last night when I was looking at all the ruckus going to and fro, how kids was acting a fool. And I thought about the great leaders at one time. What would they do? And I ain't talking about no Malcolm or no Martin. Who y'all think? I'm talking about Moshe. There was turmoil in Israel like that. What Moshe would have done? And one greater than Moshe. What would Yahushua would have done with turmoil going in Israel like that with no vision? King David, mighty men of Yahweh, wouldn't have feared that for their life at all. Would have been right there on the front line. And if they got one out of the crowd, they did Yah's will. Because all he says, tell them whether they hear for them. Make your presence known, Yisra'el. Don't take a light, put it up on a bed. Yahushua said that. You put that light on the top of a mountain, on the top of the rooftop. Isaiah 56, we're going to read 10 and 11. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Who are the watchmen of Yisra'el? Who are the watchmen? watchmen of the ministers, the watchmen of the Kohanim. What are we watching, Kohanim? Yahweh called us dung doves. Those who see matters taking place and don't want to talk and don't want to speak against it. I was praying last night and I thought, what you need me to do? What can I do? Why are you giving us this knowledge of you? What can I do to assist your people? I agonize over what to talk about today all day. Well, I'm going to talk about all the looting and the riding. And when I sat down, shit came straight on my mind.
Hallelujah.
I said, I can't go no further than what to talk about with shepherds. I hear this, I think I'm going to be talking about what's happening in my city. But Yahushua said this. He said, know that they will kill you and think they did Yah a service. We've heard that many times. We understand that, some of us to a certain extent. And let me tell you why I say some of us to a certain extent. Because some of us think that because we know Yah's name, we know we're keeping the Sabbath, we know we're doing this, we're actually hiding, because we know that. When Yahushua spoke that, he is talking about, when you up there teaching these things, they're going to kill you. When you up there telling people they are wrong, how they're living, they're going to kill you. So that's why I say some of us know that. We have to get out there and tell the people. We have to get out there and teach these things. Well, how else are they going to know what we know? How else are they going to want to kill us? How else are they going to want to shut our mouths? If we are not opening our mouths, if we are not telling them what thus saith Yahweh, we already know that the Christian ministers are ignorant. We know that. And if some of them are not ignorant, they play ignorant because they are not teaching the word of Yah. They're not teaching wisdom. They lack in knowledge. So he says, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They are looked at to their own way, everyone for his own gain, for his quarter. They are greedy dogs, I would say. Never having enough. We know that about this prosperity ministry. We know that they are greedy dogs. They are ignorant of Yah's word. And they are shepherds, he said. And they cannot understand. Why can't they understand? Because they disregard knowledge. My people are destroyed for what? Knowledge. Why? Because they disregard his Torah. That's why you don't have knowledge, because you disregard the instruction. So if the minister is disregarding the instruction, they can't give a vision to the people. So where there's no vision, the people perish. Brothers, we got to stop being scared to speak Yahweh's word to these people. Yah did not give us a spirit of fear. And if you were watching that last night and you didn't have some inside you to want to go out there and help these people and teach these people, knowing that they are majority of them Israelites. I'm not even going to say all of them, because somebody will say, no, not all of them are Israelites. You know, some of them come from hands blind. But majority of them are Israelites. What would your Savior have done? What would he have done? I mean, the scripture do say he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He do live in us. So what would Yahushua have done? He's been out there on the front line because he was been, he, what did he say? He said, with the sinners and the publicans. No, brothers, that's not the way he's doing. That's not right. Y'all playing in Satan's hand. Let us move on. Jeremiah 25. Jeremiah 25, we're going to go to 30, start at verse 34 and end up at 36. Let me get there, family. How, ye shepherds, and cry and wallow yourselves in the ashes, ye principal of the flock. For the days of your slaughter and of your dispersion are accomplished, and ye shall fall like a pleasant vessel. And the shepherd shall have no way to flee, nor the principal of the flock to escape. A voice of the cry of the shepherd and hallowing of the principal of the flock shall be heard, for Yahweh has spoiled their flesh. Yahweh is tired of these fake shepherds. He told them, you howl, cry. Go out there, raise your voice, and cry and wallow in your ashes. Mourn. You principal of the flock, you leaders of the flock. Why I don't feel like that? Because you're not feeding them. You are not taking their soul in consideration. Now, for everyone, every Kohanim who has been anointed, why were you anointed? What was your purpose of being anointed for Yahweh? Because a brother said this one time to me. He said, we're not a congregation. We're a nation. And that was profound. Because you have the shepherds of congregation for their congregation. But when Yahushua walked the earth, he didn't look at Israel as this little congregation over here, or this little house over here teaching, or this little house over here. He looked at the whole nation as the children of Yisrael. He didn't separate them. Yahweh said this is where he made us a nation of kings and priests. So the whole nation of Yisrael falls under rulership of the principal ones, of the shepherds. How many of us understand that? How many of us even want that? I'll tell you this. I'm going to be honest. I didn't sign up for that. I didn't sign up with the mindset that I'm going to have to be out there fighting for not just Beth Yahweh, but everybody who falls under the banner of Yisrael, I'm going to have to fight for. I ain't signed up for that. But not my will be done. But your will be done. That's how I felt. What can I do to help your people? When I saw that on the television last night, what can I do? What do you need me to do to help your people? Because your people, they don't have guidance. They don't have direction. Why? Because the shepherds are dumb dogs. They're ignorant of your words. They're ignorant of your Torah. The majority of them are ignorant of your son. They may claim his name. They may say his name out their mouth. But they have no idea who Yahusha is. They have none. And we can talk about that, but we ain't going to talk about that tonight. Because if we start talking about that, some of y'all start scratching our head and say, man, that brother preached some 22 letters of the alphabet, 22 powers. What is he talking about? So we're going to talk about that tonight. We just want to talk about the character of Yahushua. We ain't going to talk about the deity of him. We'll talk about the character. The brother who will stand anybody in their face and speak Yah's word with authority. That's what we're going to talk about, his character and the character of his spirit that he has given through the annals of time. When Yah sent a prophet out to the people, thus saith Yahweh, and knowing that if they went and told the king something that Yah said, their life may be taken. They may be thrown in jail. The brother we read now, Jeremiah, was thrown in jail for that very reason. Shaul was thrown in jail for that very reason, for telling. Many of the prophets was killed for that very reason, for taking Yahweh's word where he said take it and speaking it, were killed. But they wasn't afraid. But they knew something. As my spiritual leader said, they knew something. They knew and understood who they served. They knew that. And they weren't afraid of it. Let's move on to Jeremiah 50. Jeremiah 50:6. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherd have caused them to go astray. Their shepherd, has caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountain. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. Did it look like guess where Al had rest last night? Did it look like a few months back when we was in Ferguson that they had rest out there? In New York, they had rest out there? And not even talking about that great Sabbath rest. Just a rest in knowing who they are. Because that's a wrestle in itself. That's a problem within itself. A wrestle in just to know who you are and whose you are. That's a peace right there. That's a part of the mind that don't have to work for that no more. Because I can be settled in my mind because I know who I belong to. I know why I'm here in these Americas. I know why Israel was scattered through the four corners. Nothing to do with them white men. Nothing to do with the white man. Nothing to do with the earth man. Nothing to do with Ham's son. It has nothing to do with none of them. Had something to do with my forefathers who turned their backs on the Creator, who were dumb dogs. That's what it has to do with. And because of the shepherds, that's why I'm here in these lands called America today. Because there weren't shepherds standing up. And the ones that did stand up, they killed them. They forsook Yahweh's law. They wanted to be like all the other nations around. They looked at Yahweh's law as a burden, as something that, look, it's too great for a man to do. No, it's not. No, it's not. If you want to do it, it's not great. That's if you want to do it. If you want to get out there on the front line and teach and tell people what thus saith Yahweh, it's not hard at all. Let me read that again. My people have been lost. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountain. They have gone from mountain to hill. They had forgotten their place, their refuge. You know, when Jeremiah wrote this, until Yahushua came on the scene, it was still a lot of Israelites lost. Why? Because Yahushua said, I come, but for the lost sheep of Israel. He understood what Jeremiah wrote right here. I'm that good shepherd. I'm going to go find those lost sheep of Israel. I'm the good shepherd. I got 99 in the stable, but one wandered off. I'm going to go get it. I'm that good shepherd because that one is mine, and I shall not lose one. So I'm going to go get that one. The 99 is okay. So I'm going to give you shepherds to feed you. Shepherds after his own heart. Who? Yahushua. Because he came for those lost sheep of Israel. Remember, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I don't know what he gave anybody else, but for the most part, I understand what he's given me. And my duty is to the lost sheep of Israel.
Hallelujah.
It may be to for another brother to go out there and teach the word to the Gentiles. It may be for him, because he gave that to Shaul. Told Shaul, you go to the Gentiles. But for me, it's for the lost sheep of Israel. I know that and understand that about the word that he put on me.
Yeah.
It may not be for everybody. We all need to know what spirit that he put on you. Are you going out there to Gentile, or are you for the lost sheep of Israel? And if you're claiming that you have the spirit of Eliyahu, a spirit of restoration,
come on.
That's a spirit for the lost sheep of Israel. Well, let's move on. It's something that I don't want his children to hear. Can you imagine how he felt looking down at that last night? What was going on with him? Right, he was looking at the fool. Where are the ones that I called out? Where are they at? Are they sitting in their houses looking at the TV? They shaking their heads. Saying, look at them out there. And yes, it's frustrating. Yes. I ain't gonna sit there and say it's so easy to go out there to a totally ignorant person in spirit and mind. They are just totally ignorant and try to talk to them. That's not no easy job. To try to redirect a mentally state mind, that's not, trust me, I know that. I've worked with mentally challenged people. It's not no easy job to try to redirect. And that's one of the words that we use, redirecting. That's my job. You know, when one is going off, I got to go and redirect. Hold up now. Scripture said that the world is mad without Yah's word. So I ain't the only one working with mentally challenged people. Everybody who been called up working with mentally challenged people. Why? Because their minds are mad. When a man can labor for man, a woman can labor for woman, a mother can burn her child, they are mad. When a young man can bang his mother in the face, that is madness right there. But the scripture tells us they going to call good evil and evil good. Are we not hearing the scriptures? Are we not comprehending the scriptures? So he tells us that. So that's madness right there. Sit around and just listen to your coworkers at that time, because I'm quite sure you are far and few in between. There's very few true believers that's around you. Just listen to them and listen to the madness. Hear the madness that come out their mouths. How and hear what excites them. Buffoonery excites them. It excites them. listening to my coworker today, and she was talking about how her child, she kept her child with her. He's a young man, 13 years old. He said how he was looking at the TV, and it excited him. She could see the excitement in his eyes. But he's young. So you expect that out of a young person. That's exciting. I was there at one time. I was young at one time. When we was doing mischief, it was exciting to me. So I won't deny that spirit. That spirit that come along with mischief, the folly that's in the children that the scripture talks about, I won't deny that. Where are Yahweh's men? Where are those that have been called out? Let's move on. Ezekiel 34. And we wonder why. We're going to start at verse 11. No, matter of fact, did I see Jeremiah 33 yet? Oh, but let's go back to Jeremiah 33. That was before Ezekiel. 33. Starting at 36, 1 down to 14. Behold, I will bring help and courage, and I will cure them, and I will reveal unto them the abundance of shalom, or your scriptures may say peace, and truth. And I will cause the captivity of Yahuda and the captivity of Israel to return, and I will build them as the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. Again, fam, what I talked about earlier, how and why I know that I'm here in these Americas and Israelite, because I have transgressed, my forefathers have transgressed against the one who brought us out of Egypt. Has nothing to do with no other race of people. Has nothing to do with no other ethnic group. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and honor before all the nations of the earth. Yahweh wants. Can you imagine a father doing these things and bragging on his children? See, it's going to be a joy to him when his children go out and do these things. Yahweh said earlier when we started in church, he's going to do this, but how is he going to do that? He's going to move on men and women that have his will to do this. Back to 9. And it shall be to me a name of a joy, praise and honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I give unto them, and they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Excuse me, family. Thus saith Yahweh, again, there shall be heard in the place where you shall be doubtful without man and without beast, even in the cities of Yehuda and in family, House of Tongue don't want this to go out. He's been in here, he's been messing with the airwaves. He don't want Yah's sons and daughters to hear Yah's words. So we went out for a few. But we're going to pick right back up. We're going to start right back over in verse 10. Thus says Yahweh, again, there shall be heard in the place where he shall be doubted, they shall say, be docile without man and without beast, even in the cities of Yahuda and in the streets of Jerusalem. that are docile with our man and with our inhabitants and with our beasts. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise Yahweh of hosts, for Yahweh is good, for his mercy endure forever, and of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise unto the house of Yahweh. I wonder, I'm going to stop right there, because those know who I'm talking to, unto the house of Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
Ain't too much to be said about that, those who have that ear know what I'm talking about. I'm going to read it again for you. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that say, praise Yahweh of hosts, for Yahweh is good, for his mercy endure forever, and of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of Yahweh. For I will call to return the captivity of the land as the first, saith Yahweh. The house of Yahweh. Those who give the praise, the sacrifice of praise in the house of Yahweh. Ain't too much to be said about that. Y'all hear y'all talking to me. Ain't too much to be said about that. Now let's move on to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 34. And trust me, if you even get a thought about doing something like this, your life gonna turn upside down. Half the time gonna come with everything, with the house, the kitchen sink, and everything in the house at. He do not want your mind to be free to do Yah's will. Yahweh sure told Kepha this. He said, Kepha, Satan wishes to sift your mind as wheat. He wishes to take your mind and break it into a million particles. He wants you going this way, that way, this way, that way. Worried about the house bill, worried about the wife, worried about the kids. Everything but focusing on Yahweh's will. Worried about your own doubts. Worried about your own fears. That's what he's talking about when he's talking about sift your mind like wheat that Satan wants you to do. And sometimes he wins. You get in your quiet place and you want to sit down and you want to think on Yahweh, and your mind going in a million directions. Your heart may be heavy. The scripture talks about a heavy heart can't serve Yahweh. Your kids didn't got on your nerves. He didn't bore everything to you. Your spouse, whether male or female, then got on your nerves to you. You can't even focus on the will of Yahweh, what you've been called, what you've been born to do. And I'm not excluding myself. I'm in that boat, too. This flesh get tired at times, get beat down. Oftentimes, man, I wish I did. Hey, a couple $1 million. I ain't got to work. Hey. If it ain't this distraction, it will be another distraction. Mm-hmm. It will always be a distraction. It ain't until you make up or I make up in my mind, say, for Yah I live and for Yah I die. I mean, we say these things as cliche to us.
Mm-hmm.
Because for how many of us truly say, for Yah I live and for Yah I die? How many truly are trying to live their life like that? Where these little distractions will never deter you from doing Yahweh's will. Wife acting a fool, husband acting a fool, hey, that's okay. That's your job. You're doing what you've been told to do. Children acting a fool, you're doing what you've been told to do. Spills coming down from left to right, okay, that's a part of life. But I have a job to do. I have to do Yahweh's will. And again, and I'm not speaking like I live that life every day. Because just like Satan wished to sift Kepha's mind, Peter's mind, he wanted to sift Ariel's mind too. He wanted to sift if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, he wanted to sift your mind too. I ain't alone. You sit back and look at your problems that you think you have in your life. And then multiply them by 10 when you're trying to do Yahweh's will. He never said it was easy. But I'll tell you this. I ask you to think on this scripture. Why Brother Kiefer said this in his word, that the righteous will scarcely make it in. Think on that. Ponder on that. Pray about that. And these some brothers and sisters that think they're living righteous and think that they have salvation. But they're going to barely make it in. What are they doing for Kiefer to be inspired to write that? Where they laid back at? Where they just sitting back and saying, I'm okay. I'm keeping the Shabbat. I'm keeping the feast days. Where they laid back not doing something? If the Great Commission is to go out and tell the world, then what are you not doing? That's the great. That's the last thing Yahushua have told you his people. Go out and teach the world. Go out and teach that. About me, about salvation. Not staying in your own little camps.
Mm-hmm.
Go out and teach.
Mm-hmm.
Do what I did. I went and I grabbed me a young man one day and I talked to him. Two brothers was walking down the street and I walked behind them and I explained to them about the scriptures. I mean, I started from Genesis all the way through to Malachi. And I explained to him about the Mashiach. I didn't even have to tell them who I was. Because they didn't know. Let's move on. Where am I now? You just said Ezekiel?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back. We're going to talk about some good shepherds now. With Yahshua. We're going to go back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah
23. Did you read it?
I didn't read it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excuse me, family. Let me go back, read Ezekiel. That's Ezekiel 34:2-10. Matter of fact, I'm going to start at 1. Start at 1. And the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, and you know what? Them ignorant ones, those dumb dogs out there that I will call, not being ignorant to them, not being mean to them. I'm just going to use what the word says about them. The word calls them ignorant, dumb dogs, those who love to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Unlearned. They love to say, and the Lord told me this. They love to say that. They love to claim that Abiyah told them something. When the last time you went to a person and said that? Poor person, Abiyah told me that. And that's not an easy job. You know, Abiyah tell you something, it ain't like you want to run and tell this person, look, Abiyah told me this, this, that. That's not easy. Don't tell a person that. But these false ministers love to claim that the Lord told them something. Baal told them something. Another Lord, that Lord, but not Abiyah. Because if he told him something, it would be according to the word. It wouldn't be out of his word. When the last time you went to a person, thus saith Yahweh. You don't even speak like that today.
Mm-hmm.
You don't speak in the manner of the scriptures and how our ancestors spoke. I remember when we had to read the book of Ruth and how these brothers, they would greet one another with the shalom, and they would also say, may Yahweh be with you. And I thought that was like, wow, that's good. It ain't like they're saying, may Yahweh be with you, and because your life is in turmoil and this, that, and the other. That's how they greeted one another. That's how they left one another. May Yahweh be with you. They wishing it upon a brother. Shalom. Peace be unto you, mind, body, and soul, and may Yahweh be with you. That's how they was greeting one another. You say that to a brother today, and you go, well, that's like, ain't nothing wrong with my life.
What you talking about? I'm all right. Why you telling me million hour week people sleep? I mean, some of the brothers, they starting to understand that when I speak to them like that. Hey, million hour week people sleep. We would end it like that. But matter of fact, my brother Harvell, hey, we say that to one another frequently now. May Yahweh be with you. May Yahweh be with you. And we mean that sincerely. May he, in everything you do, may he be with you. We're going to get off the phone with Father Shalom, or may Yahweh be with you if we be in one another's presence. That's how our ancestors spoke to one another. That's how they looked at one another. A true care for one another. And if I'm not saying that to you, all my brothers, forgive me, because I will. And my sisters. Because I mean that. For the task that's in front of us and this life that we're trying to live, Yahweh has to be with us. So I've got to wish that upon them. I've got to speak that into their lives. May Yahweh be with you. Go back and read the book of Ruth and see how those brothers greeted and left one another. Go back and read it. You think I'm just making something up. I'm not speaking Torah. I'm not speaking the word of Yah. But let me get back to Ezekiel, friend. And the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? That's a question. There's a question. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? That's a question that I would ask all the shepherds. And the flock is not just our king. It's whoever fall under the banner of Yisrael. And those who want to take hold of Yisrael. Because I don't believe Yahushua. Let me think about that. Let me recall. I can't remember a assembly that Yahushua belonged to. I don't remember. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, that he said, yeah, you know, I'm a member of Beth Elohim. I'm a member of Cole Elohim. I don't remember him saying that. I don't remember him telling the apostles, you know, y'all go here to that assembly or go to that assembly, go to this assembly. Yeah, y'all go out to the lost sheep of Israel. That's what he told them. And what about going to this assembly? Well, that assembly, he understood that it was a nation. Always had been a nation. You eat the fat, and you clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fat, but you feed not the flock. The disease have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost. Cruelty have you ruled them. Meaning, tell me, the shepherds of Israel had power to heal? You mean to tell me they could heal diseases, strengthen people? Not in a physical strength, but when they was weak and tried and down in their mind. They went and strengthened. But I'm talking about physical healing. That they was able to do that? If you're little, I would got to, he said, I've got someone against you. If we prophesy against you, you ain't going to the disease and healing them. Why we ain't healing people? Why we ain't touching the sick, the broken? They're driven away. After they're driven away, why are we not going to get those that are driven away? People, we should be able to heal in this world. Shaul did. Shaul was the elder people. I mean, Kevin was the elder people. Yahushua was the elder people. So right here, Father was saying that the shepherds back in the day, they was able to heal people. Because he said, why aren't you doing these things? There wasn't no mercy, no John Hopkins, no university, no hospitals back in the day. People wouldn't have seen the shepherds. The Kohanim, the priest of Israel, was doing these things. But a true Kohanim need to come back. Those who have a compassion, a heart for the people. He said, with cruelty have you ruined them. I know a brother who went to a congregation and he brought a whole bunch of presents for Hanukkah. For the congregation. And that's neither here nor there. Because if you don't celebrate Hanukkah, that's okay. If you do celebrate it, that's a plus. I'll say it like that. This brother went and brought gifts because, you know, this congregation, they allow you to buy gifts that was for the kids. And what he brought wasn't even accepted by them. They shunned the brother. They treated the brother so bad. The brother ain't been back since. They shunned the brother with cruelty. We move on to 5. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon the high hills. Yea, my flock was scattered upon the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Okay, now Yahushua, he told us to go after lost sheep. And you gave a great commission to do that. Is you saying that because of these scriptures right here, because I was saying that there was no shepherd going and seeking after them, that the beast of the field is devouring them? Scripture, you talk about a fourth beast. And he do tell his people to come out of that beast in Revelation. We put the scripture together now. But there's shepherds that don't want to go get his people out of this beast. That's been scattered throughout all the mountains, the scriptures. I wonder. But those who have an ear, hear the scriptures. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of Yahweh. As I live, saith Yahweh, powers. Surely, because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. What they feed? What we got to feed them? The word of Yahweh. That's it. Therefore, O you shepherds, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh, power. Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. I don't want to be in that. I don't want to be in that boat. The one who's not feeding or going after Yahweh's law. Does he require that of us? If not, he wouldn't have never told the brother Ezekiel to go prophesy against them. Let's move on. Jeremiah 23:4. Now we're going to talk about some good shepherds. Scriptures that Yahweh had done against the shepherds of Israel. Now let's talk about some good ones. What he said he's going to. 23:4. This is what Abba said he's going to do. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them. Oh, Ezekiel. Abba was talking about the shepherds that did not feed them. Now in Jeremiah, He said, I'm going to set up shepherds which will feed them. Who are them? The scattered ones, the lost sheep of Israel. Those that we saw on television last night. Not all of them, because there you go. Somebody will say, well, you know, all that one is like our people. Our people. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall they be lacking, saith Yahweh. They wouldn't be in astonishment. They wouldn't be looking at like I looked at that television last night in disbelief. Like, wow, are our people really doing that? Are they really understanding the image that they are putting out there into the world? Do they really? I was dismayed at that, as the scripture said. They don't truly understand the image that they are putting out there to the world. Why? Because where there's no vision, the people perish. Where there's no good shepherds, the people shall perish. But I would say, I will set up shepherds. He will do that. Let's move on to Jeremiah 33:6. We're going to start at 6-14, family. Behold, I will bring them help and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of shalom and truth. It talks about some peace and truth in our scriptures. But the scripture was the opposite, that we didn't have that because there was no shepherd. And how are we going to do that? The shepherds that he said in the scripture we just read, that he's going to set up shepherds? That's how he's going to bring up health and cure. Seven family. I will cause the captivity of Yahudah and the captivity of Yisrael to return. I will build them as the first, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, from all their sin, family, whereby their lawlessness, whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquity. Whereby they have sinned, whereby I have transgressed against me. They have transgressed against me. Like, I ain't got my glass, but I will be done. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them, and they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto them. Thus saith Yahweh again, there shall be heard in this place, where ye shall be desolate without man and without beast, even unto the cities of Yahudah and the streets of Jerusalem, that are desolate without man and without inhabitant and without beast. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom. Oh, I've read this already. Sorry, friends, but you know what? I'm just going to keep on reading it. And this is what Abba said he's going to do for us when he set up these men, these priests. And the voice that shall say, praise Yahweh of hosts. Yahweh is good, for his mercy endure forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house, into the bet, Yahweh. Must want me to read that for a reason. For I will cause them to return to captivity of the land, and at the first, saith Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, again, in this place which is desolate without man and without beast, and without the city thereof, shall be an inhabitation of shepherds, causing the flock to lie down. Okay, now I understand what happened. In the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the west, and in the cities of the south, and in the land of Benjamin, and in the places of about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Yahudah, shall the flocks pass again under the hand of them, of him that telleth them, thus saith Yahweh, these shepherds See, at one time, these shepherds wasn't telling them. They wasn't allowing them to allow down to these other mountains. They wasn't having the flock to pass through again under the hand of them that tell them. Well, if you pass through these, you're counting sheep. That means you're making sure every sheep that you had, if I went off the gate, last night when I went to bed, I had 100 sheep. So you got to have the sheep going again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You're counting. You're making sure every sheep is accounted for. What we talked about earlier, those who did not go after them that were scattered. But now we here in this age know and understand a little bit more when Yahushua said that he should not lose one. Maybe one was excommunicated and we did not go back and check on that brother after some time or that sister. Maybe one left the flock and we did not go back and check on that brother or sister. For a reason. We looked at them, we started looking at them as they're outcasts. They don't belong here no more. They don't want to be here. I'm not going to get them. But the patience that Abba has for us to get it right, the love that he has for us to get it right. He said, I wish not one man perish, not one that he wished to perish. 14, family. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house. And we know the true fulfillment of this scripture is when Yahushua will come back. But we will not allow that to be an excuse why we can't do that great commission. Because we have to do our part until Yahushua will come back. Yeah. Let me go to Matthew 10 and 4. I'm about to close our family. Got two more scriptures. Matthew 10, 5 through 14. Two more places anyway. That I think of anyway. You don't know what I will have till you start reading. Till you start talking his word. Starting at 5, family, these 12 Yahushua sent forth and commanded them. Commanded, who are these 12? The 12 apostles, we know that. And commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of Samaritans, enter ye not. We can look at that two ways. We understand that, look, don't go where the Gentiles are, or the way. The way is a direction. The directions that the Gentiles are going, don't go that way. And we know the direction that the Gentiles is going, because the scripture talks about the great dragon which deceives the whole earth. But he's what he said. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Yisra'el, of Bet Yisra'el, the house of Yisra'el. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When should this stop being preached? Mm-hmm. Never. Never. This right here should never be stopped being preached. Excuse me, family. Why? Because that's our commission. Heal the sick. Oh, he gave them power to heal the sick. The things that the shepherds back in the days of Jeremiah was not doing. Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely you give. Don't be greedy. Don't sell the word of Yahweh. Don't sell the gifts of Yahweh, because those gifts was given to you freely. Don't be a Benny Hinn who's going to have a stadium full of people and deceiving the people as if he's healing people. Don't do that. You were given these gifts free. freely give them away. You were given the Spirit of Yahweh, freely give it away. Can you imagine if when that power, I didn't want to say this, when we start operating an unadulterated doubt, when we have no doubt, when we look and say that I believe what you said I can do, we be able to heal people, the millions that we'll be able to get. That's some temptation right there. Can you imagine if I went to St. Jude Hospital and just healed every cancer patient in there?
Hallelujah.
How the world will be running behind me. How much money I can get paid. The temptation of that money, fame, and wealth. Maybe I would understand. He understands man's heart. And he know in these days and times that if somebody was able to do that, how the world would pry and claw at this man or at this woman, how they would want to probe inside their mind to see how in the world that this person had this power. Because they would not give Abba the honor for that. Even if this person was such a humble person, they would not give Abba the honor for that. They would wonder, how are you able to heal everybody? And I tell you what, they won't kill you. Once they realize they can't find out how you are healing people, and they come to the conclusion, this is a man of Yah. This is a woman of Yah. You know, we got to kill him. Him or her. We don't have to kill him. Why? Because we're taking money from them. We are taking money. By healing people, we are taking money for them. They don't want that. They don't want you healing people. They don't want you going around healing the sick, casting out devils, telling devils to move, get out of them. They need them to be able to come to their pharmacy to get that, to spend money to make that money turn over and over. So Yahushua shall say, greater works you shall do, and know that they shall kill you, because you'll be able to do these type of things. And why? Not just the one who's saying that, oh, the Lord told me this, but that doctor who know that he can make millions by keeping people sick, he's going to be one of the ones, kill him. That lawyer that know that you turned that young brother or man around, the more miles that you turn around, the less money in criminals that the criminal system had. Kill him. I'm telling you, every which way, House of Tongue is coming. There's no way that we can think of that he's not coming. But thanks be to Yahweh that we can see every way. Question is, do we want to be put on the front line? If we had that power, would you want to go out there and heal the whole hospital? Or would you be afraid knowing that they're gonna kill you? If you had that type of power, which you do have it, this week you have it, would you do it? We go back at verse 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely you give. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. For the workman is worthy of his meat. Out 14. And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your shalom come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your shalom return to you. So the Bible is plainly letting us know that everybody is not going to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is not going to receive you in their house. But you have something to give them if they're worthy. Yah do love the world, and he did an act to show that he loved the world. He sent his only begotten son. But he is, if you don't want to accept him, he's okay with that. He's fine with that. So I said before you, fire and water, I command you to choose life. I'm not going to make you to choose life, but I command you to choose life. You don't have to choose. So if you deem somebody unworthy, you don't have to give them your shalom. You're mighty one talking. This is Yahushua, the one who laid down his life. You don't have to give them your shalom. If you deem them unworthy, then you take your shalom and your pearls, because at that time they have become swine. It's to cast not your pearls among swine, and you move on. That means to get the life, the spirit, what you need to feed them with, the word of Yah, you take that and you keep moving. Let's finish out. And so whoever shall not receive you, nor hear your word, when you depart out of their house or city, take the dust off your feet. When you got reading them, take the dust off your feet. In other words, don't even feel bad for them. Don't even let that sit on your conscience. What's the dust? Man is made from the dust of the earth. Don't let that individual that you tried to give them the words of life bob your spirit. He said, shake the dust off your feet because you did what I asked you to do. Whether they hear or forbear, I need you. Well, I need you to tell them. Take your life. Tell them. And the last scripture, family, Romans 10:13. We start at verse 13, going through to 15. For whosoever shall call upon the name of Yah shall be saved. That's another teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Because we got a lot of people. A lot of people who believe just because you call on the name of the Father, I shall be saved. And the scripture do say that. But it's understanding that goes with that. But let's look at it like this. My kids know my name. And if you have kids, know your name. Your wife, your husband may know your name. But if they dishonor you, what would you do? You walk in the house, put your wife in bed with another man, they know your name. How many of us gonna keep that wife? Or how many of the wives gonna keep that husband? You just got this rotten child who just won't listen to you at all, who won't honor you at all, just outright disrespects you, will not follow none of your rules, not one. But they know your name. How much? Because scriptures say he's long-suffering. I'm quite sure we will be long-suffering in those days. How long would you suffer this child to be disrespectful to you before you say, you have to get out of my house? Before you say, you are not welcome in my house. I'm quite sure all of us can either ourselves or one of our siblings or somebody know that been put out of their parents' house because they was either not following the rules of the parents' house or just outright disrespectful in the parent. Long suffered with them, but put them out. That's what the Father said. Honor me. Then you can have eternal life. With knowing his name comes with honoring his name. honoring him, following his rules and his instructions that he laid down for us, a vision that he had for mankind. Because look, if those perish without a vision, what happens if you have a vision? His vision, not your own. His vision, his plan of salvation for you. Then you have eternal life. But if you don't have a vision, don't follow his plan, you'll have total destruction upon yourself. Let me move on. 12. Wait a minute. 14, family. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? That's the question that Brother Shaul was asking. How is that what we saw on the television or what we see every day? How are they going to call on the Father if those who know him is not saying nothing to them? Now, you did your job, you said some things, you shared some things. Then it's not on you no more. He says, shake the dust off your feet. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Without somebody proclaiming his word. How are they going to hear these things? Because these shepherds out there today, they're not teaching Yahweh's word. They're not teaching who Yah is. Those ministers that got together and went down there, I commend them for that. You know, that was honorable to do that. But they did it in vain. Can you take the same amount of ministers down there, cut it, and take three of Yah's ministers and put them down there, it would have been a big difference. Why? Because those three will speak in 10 times power what the 100 men spoke yesterday. Why? Because they're speaking not in their own words, not in their own spirit. They're speaking with the spirit of life. So anytime you speak Yah's word, you're going to speak life. You're going to break through something that's hard and stony. You're going to break through those who Yah chooses to break through, those who have an ear to hear. And how shall they preach except they've been sent? That's the million-dollar question right there. Do you believe you've been sent? Do we all claim and say that we are kohanim, we are ministers of Yah? But Yah ministers. There have been a theme since Abraham been on the scene. Matter of fact, let me go back further than that. And further than that, Enoch, men who's teaching the will of Yahweh throughout the whole scriptures. That theme right there, thus saith Yahweh, have been throughout the whole scriptures. Those men understood that they were sent by the Father to do a specific job. They understood that. They were sent by the Father. How in the world do you think Noah felt? Can you imagine how Noah felt? Brother Noah, who don't know, for those who don't know who Noah is, Noah. How do y'all think he felt? And if these days are just like those days, but Noah went out there and told anyway. So we can't say, well, the people's minds today are terrible, they are messed up, they're way worse than the days of Noah. You're alive. Because the scripture says that the end times are going to be just like those days. That's not a scripture, that's what Yahweh Shaw said, if you believe it. If you believe what he said, he said that the end times will be like Sodom and Gomorrah. In one scripture, in another scripture, say, like the days of Noah. If you believe that. So, and Noah went out there free. Regardless of the minds of the people, he went out there free, and he was building the ark at the same time. He was building it and preaching, building and preaching with the same mentality that we see out there in the streets today. There's no different mentality if you believe the scripture, if you believe what Yahushua said. He said there will be no difference. We know his word is true. We know he spoke truth. Why? Because there's no difference. You know, homosexuality is rampant out there. It's just a regular thing today. Men, women are given in marriage all up and down. They're partying like crazy. Like no tomorrow. There is no difference in the world before Abba had to destroy it then. And when before Abba has to come back and intervene again, there will be no difference. That's what Abba said in his word. There will be no difference if you believe that. And he had a preacher during that time. He raised up Abraham during the same time. No, after the flood, he raised up Abraham. Why? Because men started going astray again. It didn't take men long to go astray. It don't take us long to get on the wrong track, to go down the wrong pathway. We know it ourselves. It don't take us long. We can come out of service, and the mind will jump right back into iniquity. We could just heard a brilliant service. The Spirit of Yahweh was on the brother when he was speaking. But it does not take us long to go back into iniquity. Matter of fact, we're going to talk about that next week. What is evil? We're going to talk about that. Because the world truly don't understand what evil is. They look at it as, if I tell a little white lie, you know, let me just tell a lie. He just ain't not dead. That's evil's involved. In fact, you become the son of the devil. Because that's what Yahushua said. He is the father of the lie. That's evil too. A little teeny white lie is evil to the father. And the father is taking some men that he has chosen out of this evil world to put his spirit in to at least tell somebody. To at least try to redirect somebody towards his kingdom. Let me finish this out, Fred. And how shall they preach, except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the good news of Shalom and bring glad tidings of good things. I'm going to leave y'all with that thought right there. Just verse, as a matter of fact, in your spare time tonight, read verse 15 and how good it is. How you feel. Remember when you told somebody and you saw in their face that they accept what you were saying? That made you feel good. Now multiply that down to 100,000. That's how the Father feels. Because he sees some stony ground in that person's mind have just been broken. Because of one of his servants that he gave a commission to go out and teach them. Until next time, family. Shalom.
All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God.
All the glory belongs to you.
All the glory belongs to you.
glory belongs to you.
All the glory belongs to you.
Yeah.
All the glory belongs to you.
Oh God. All the glory belongs to you. Oh God.
All the glory belongs to you.
Oh God.
All the glory belongs to you.
Oh God. Yeah.
And it's our desire to give your name the highest praise today. So we say, ha, hallelujah. Say, ha, hallelujah.